Well, that was No, No, No from a bit of an experimental part of Archie Roach's Charcoal Lane album. But that wasn't Archie Roach. I think that was The Radical Son and The Earth Boy and The Trials. But I love that track. And there's something else I love. It's the paintings of Teresa Chatfield. Now, I've got Teresa waiting. Just got to get everybody organised. Teresa, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can just hear you.
Oh, great. I'll turn myself up a bit. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, great. And you speak straight, nice and loud into your phone as well. Teresa, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Just as by way of introduction, Teresa, you're a local artist and you paint about your culture you're an Aboriginal painter, I suppose. Would you identify as being Aboriginal painter?
Yeah, I'm Aboriginal.
Good on you. Now, I'm excited because I've seen your exhibition that's currently on at the Armidale Cultural Centre in Keeping Place in Kentucky Street. And I met you there a few weeks ago when you did the artist talk and at the launch of your exhibition. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your paintings, Teresa?
It's traditional mixed with a bit of contemporary because I use different colours and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that was really exciting was just the way you use colour is quite different to a lot of conventional, if you like, Indigenous painting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you got no, a? If you've got a radio on, can you turn it off?
I don't like sticking to the just traditional painting because you know we're all westernised now, and I like to mix in different aspects of that as well.
Yeah.
So my colour scheme is not always the same; it's different every time.
Mm. Well, I mean, there's some really, really you like to work in vivid sort of colours. Tell us a bit about, I mean, it's hard on radio, but some of your paintings are just so vibrant with pinks and bright blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just like doing artwork. I do it for therapeutic reasons because I've got a very rare autoimmune disease, which struck me down 5 years ago.
Mm.
So because I can never work again due to that illness,
yep.
I paint for therapeutic reasons and to express myself through my artwork.
Yeah. It's an interesting condition you've got, Teresa. I mean, it's related to. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what the symptoms are? I suppose
It's called statin-induced immune-mediated necrotizing autoimmune myopathy.
Mm-hmm.
What it does, it affects your upper and lower limbs. It gives you extreme weakness. I'm currently on treatment once a month for life. I'm on so much medication for different other things as well, including that.
Mm.
So there's no cure, as most autoimmune diseases haven't got a cure.
Yep.
But, when you suffer from an illness like this, you think your whole world's going to end. But I found my voice through my artwork.
Yeah.
And my inspiration to do my artwork is my father, who inspired me all my life.
Yeah.
And everything I do, I dedicate to him and to my nephew, Tani Chatfield.
Yep.
So, everything I do, I dedicate it to them.
Oh, it's really quite heroic. Tani's life was cut short in the Tamworth jail. Everybody from this station just sends our condolences, of course, to you for that. But you're determined that Tani and your dad are going to live on in your paintings, I guess.
I get my inspiration from my father because when he was younger, and when I was younger, he used to draw.
Right.
He used to do sketches of horses and stuff. And he was a good artist in himself.
Right.
But he was a single parent that he did by himself. Many years ago.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about... tell us a little bit, if you can just keep talking straight into that phone as loud as you can. Oh, that's better, yeah. Tell a bit about where you're from, Teresa, and what your inspirations are.
I was born and bred in Moree.
Right.
I moved to Tamworth when I was 38, so I've been here for 16 years now.
Right.
We basically moved over here due to my father's health conditions, because I was his carer for nearly 20 years.
Right.
I lost him going on 6 years now. But, right. Yeah, we moved here because of that primarily.
Mm.
And, yeah, my sister moved over here with her three daughters, and they're all growing now.
Right.
But, yeah, that's basically it. Like I said, my father inspires me throughout my life. Even though he's no longer with us in body, he's still with me in spirit.
Of course, yeah. Mm. And what was it like growing up in Moree back in the day, I guess?
Oh, it was good. It was good. We had an uncle, his name was Doug. We called him Uncle Dougie. And, because we all grew up on a mission, which is known as the top camp in Moree.
Right.
He used to take us fishing, looking for goannas and porcupines. It was great. Like, he would never go alone. He'd always have a mob of us with him because all his nieces and nephews lived in the same place.
Yep.
We all followed him. So we used to go out with him, camp with him and his wife, Aunt Medina, and, yeah, we just had a ball.
So you'd be going out with Uncle Dougie and Aunt Nadina.
Yep.
And I guess it was – I mean, a lot of people think that Aboriginal people in, New South Wales, I suppose, have – a lot of white people say, oh, they've lost their culture and all that, but it's not true, is it?
No, it's not true.
Mm.
It's not true at all.
Yeah.
We're always stereotyped, which is wrong.
Yep.
You should never stereotype us at all. We're the same as them, it's just that we're different colours.
Mm.
That's all it is. We're raised differently. We're raised very closely with our family and mob.
Yep.
Because we never basically leave one another. We're always there. We always communicate. We always talk as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have our ups and downs. But that's just natural in any family.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, our life was just full of joy because, you know, we had an uncle who used to take us fishing and camping. My parents used to do the same.
Yeah.
I mean, I lived across the road from my grandmother, my cousin, my great aunt across the road. Like, I was surrounded by mob.
Mm.
All my life.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that because it's an experience that a lot of non-Aboriginal people, you know, don't have that closeness to their family.
When you're raised, when you're born and bred on a mission,
yeah,
it's a different kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, everyone, even though we may not be related to everyone there, we're all cousins because we all grew up the same.
Yeah.
We all played with one another. We all did the same thing.
Yep.
You know, we lived the same kind of life.
Mm.
You know, we weren't privileged or anything, but we lived the same life when we got by.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I hate us being stereotyped all the time as alcoholics and druggos and all that kind of stuff. That's not right because we're only a minority in Australia.
Mm.
You know, we're only a minority in Australia now and this is our country.
Mm.
But, the misconception is that black people are worthless and don't do nothing, which is just a load of crap, really.
Yeah, because you do so much, actually. And one of the things I know that you do, Teresa, is and you're not the only Aboriginal person I know who's just flat out looking after kids, even though they may not be your own birth kids. But you're always like every time I ring you.
Well, family is the cornerstone of our existence, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Without family, we have nothing.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I put my hand up. With the kids because I've got great nephew and nieces. I've got a few in Armidale.
And you've got a few.
You
got a few in the house right now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got three babies at the moment, 5, 3, and 1.
Oh, and you're looking after them even though you've got, your own health issues to consider.
Yeah. Well, see, they keep me going. They bring brightness to my darkness.
Yeah.
You know, when you're so sick and you're by yourself, you just dwell on your illness.
Yeah.
And when I've got the kids, I don't dwell on that. I'm happy to have them here and, you know, we do our own things here and it makes you happy in yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, family, that's what family can do to you and sometimes it can't do to you, but you always think towards the positive and not the negative.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, at the talk down at the Cultural Centre, you were talking about going fishing and going to places that you probably wouldn't go now because there's snakes around and stuff like that. It was quite humorous, actually.
When you're younger, you're free. You don't understand the restrictions in life.
Yeah.
You don't know the dangers because you're free. You're like you're innocent.
Yeah.
When you get older, you realise, oh, my God, that was so dangerous doing that, you know. Like my uncle used to catch king browns and red-bellied blacks and snakes and all that there. And when we were kids, that was exciting.
I bet it. Well, I think it would be exciting at any time.
Yeah, it was exciting because he would do it. He'd crack a whip and all this here, like he'd show us all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And when we grow up, we realise how dangerous it was. But back in our time when we were kids and we were innocent, that was just the best time of our life.
Yeah.
As you grow up, you realise the danger around you, you know?
Did you eat snakes, Teresa? Was that part of the...
No.
You didn't know?
We mainly went looking for goannas and porcupines.
Yeah.
And we used to go fishing as well because we used to camp out in Moray. We used to go to a place called Snake Gully.
Yep.
And that's where we used to catch the fish and look around for porcupines and goannas.
Mm-mm.
And my parents used to go out there all the time with us kids and they'd never take just us four kids. They'd take a load with us.
Yeah.
You know, we always have carpets in the car squeezing somewhere in our car.
Yeah.
You know, so it would never be just the six of us. It would be like maybe 10 or 11 kids.
That's right.
You know, they'd squeeze us all in, yeah. Like back in the day, it was just like the greatest time of our lives. And that's a lot of Indigenous people today.
Mm.
When they were young, some have good memories, some have bad memories, but we all have that anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I choose to remember the good times and not the bad times.
Mm. Yeah, and there's a lovely painting down there. I was just hoping you might talk about some of the pictures and where they come from within you. I mean, I know you...
Well, a lot of the paintings I've done is representing my community.
Right.
I did one, a goanna, which is my totem for the Gamilaroi tribe.
Yeah.
That represents me as a tribe member.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones I've done, animals in the Dreamtime. But, it all reflects on community as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are, you go to different towns, sometimes the community's broken up.
Yeah.
Because certain people don't mix with certain people, you know, and that's a conflict. And it's sad. So I choose to remember the good times and put my do that reflection in my artwork.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lovely, it's quite a small painting and it's got, and it's kind of geometrical of fish. Fish sort of
Yeah, well, that
across.
Represents the Mihai River and when we used to go fishing down there for yellow bellies and stuff like that. And
yeah.
Catfish. So that represents that.
And yellow belly are kind of like the deluxe fish, aren't they?
Yellow belly is fish and it's beautiful. And catfish we used to catch as well back in the day.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I know when we were at the gallery, a person who was there who had memories herself of fishing with family on the Mihai, she said, wow, you got all the colours exactly right, you know. And that's kind of a more, they're sort of, no, more, I suppose, conventional Aboriginal colours, if you like, sort of greens and ochres and things like that. But
Well, I like mixing up the colours. I said I can go the traditional path of the ochres and browns and stuff like that. I have done some of those.
Mm.
But... with the exhibition, I want to do bright colours to make it all pop and just to showcase our culture and the diversity of our artwork.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Because not everyone's artwork is the same. Everyone's different in their own way.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think is really fascinating. I couldn't quite understand... When I was there, I couldn't quite understand that there were different kinds of paintings. It wasn't all the same. And I think this is what I want to recommend to my listeners, that they pop into the Keeping Place, which is open from, I think, 10 till 4 every day. And have a look at your exhibition. Buy a painting if they want. But have a look at your exhibition because there's so many... One of the things you do, Teresa, maybe you could explain this better than I can, is you take different kinds of Aboriginal art, because not all traditional Aboriginal art is the same, is it?
Yeah, well, like I said, I could go the traditional route, but I chose not to.
Yep.
And I wanted to do different colours and colour schemes and design, because we all don't do the same kind of artwork, and it's a reflection of our diversity in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, as we grow older, things change. So we've got to move with the time but also still represent who we are. And so that's why I've done it in that way.
So there's some paintings there that are so abstract that they could come from anywhere in the world, actually. I mean, they're obviously rooted in your background, but there's one I'm thinking of that's just got lots and lots of big and small bright pink circles.
Yeah.
And
that's what I like. I like the diversity of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got plenty of relatives who would love to have my paintings. So when I do a painting, I've got my niece, oh, can I have it, or her best friend, can I have that, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's good to get the feedback from them, and it's also good to get feedback from other people viewing my artwork.
Mm. And
because sometimes you don't realise if you've done enough, you know, with your artwork.
Mm.
So I usually get feedback from them, which is always positive, which is good.
Do you mean, is the fact, when you say if you've done enough, do you mean is that painting finished or not? Or
just to see if they like the design and the colour scheme.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes I'm uncertain about the colours, but then I look at it and I think, no, it looks nice. And yeah. So I get feedback from family members.
Mm. Mm. And the exhibition is advertised with a painting, which there has been sold, I think, but it's such do you want to tell us about that one? Because it's almost like a miniature, but it's beautiful. Do you want to tell us about...
It just represents the sunset. I wanted to do something that was in the blues and like a little bit of a camouflage feel.
Yeah.
Like with the big one I did with the two brothers out in the outback, which I did in a camouflage kind of design, and that represents my ancestors. They fought in World War I and World War II.
Oh,
and that's on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted to do something completely different to see how that would stand out.
Yeah.
So I was happy with that one as well. But the first one was like that as well. I just wondered, I got sick of doing the same kind of thing, and I thought, well, I'll try it this way and see how that looks, and it actually turned out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then there's...
Because not everyone sees a sunset the same way.
No.
You know? And they don't paint it the same way. So that's why I decided to do it that way. With the four circles, which represents community.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got quite a lot of the sort of language, symbolic language, I guess, people can learn it if they want, and actually your exhibition is a really good entry point, I think, for people to learn things like, you know, the U-shape sort of talks about people sitting down and gathering together.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but so there's a lot of that sort of classic Aboriginal art language within your paintings, but there's a lot more as well, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of people paint from the heart. They paint from where they're from. Mm. They paint from stories. You know, they paint in reflection of life itself, and that's what I try to do in my artwork.
Mm.
I paint what I see. You know, I'll have an idea in my head and I'll have to put it to paper first, then I'll draw it on a canvas.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's always different. Sometimes I'll go straight to the canvas, sometimes I'll draw it first to see how that looks, and, yeah, everyone's different.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, those totemic animals are really important parts of the design work. So they, for example, for you, if there's a goanna in the picture, that's representing you and the Kamilaroi
tribe.
Yep. Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
Because that's...
I wanted to do a big one that represents my tribe because, I mean, I was raised at a mission in Moree, and I thought, I want to do this goanna because I used to hunt goannas when I was a kid.
Mm.
You know, they were a source of food for us.
Yeah, and the other thing that happened was
we didn't hunt for joy, we hunted for food.
That's right.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And we used to cook the goannas at the back of my nan's house with a porcupine, and it was great because it was just a big family get-together.
And do you mind sharing with the listeners what the different bush tucker foods taste like? Because everybody has their favourites, don't they?
Yeah, goanna just tastes a bit like chicken, where porcupine to me tastes a bit like chicken and pork put together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, it was like completely different taste.
And there was an interesting discussion at the artist talk because you said, there was a particular, pretty popular Australian animal, I think it was the kangaroo, that you said you don't really like.
No, I don't like the kangaroo. we didn't eat in Moree. That wasn't a part of our food.
Yeah.
It's more Northern Territory all that way.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't our food source.
Well,
we were more goannas and porcupines and fish.
Right. Yeah. Well,
so everyone's different in each community. They hunt for certain things or whatever, but ours is different.
Because some of the artists that were some of the guys that are resident artists at the keeping place were there at the exhibition, and afterwards I was chatting with them, and they said, "Oh no, she doesn't know how to cook kangaroo. It's the best."
No, see, I don't like kangaroo. That's the thing. It's not my cup of tea. I mean, if I had to eat it, I would eat it, but yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah, that's...
Everyone's taste buds are different and mine's are definitely not into kangaroo.
Is that so... That's so interesting because these boys were saying, oh, you know, kangaroo's the best. You cook it this way. And they were talking about how to cook it and how succulent and delicious it is. So it was...
Yeah, you can cook it all different ways. There's a couple of Aboriginal chefs that are on TV that show you how to cook it, but I just don't like it.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And the other thing you were talking about was, I think, was it goanna fat that...
Yeah, goanna fat was really good for your skin.
Mm.
We used to keep that in cooking it with other foods.
Mm.
So my uncle used to store it in a big jar and he used to put it in the fridge.
Right.
So I'd bring that out and use it for something else, yeah.
So you'd always have some goanna fat to put on if you'd burnt yourself or if you needed something to soften your skin a bit? Is that what it was used for or...?
Yeah, well, I used to use it on his skin, use it for eczema and stuff like that. I don't know the medicinal use of it, but yeah. Back in the day, that's what we used to use, and used to use some of the goanna fat to cook just normal meals in.
Yeah, right. Give it a different flavour, I suppose.
Yeah, it would give it a different flavour.
Yeah.
It'll give it a tangy flavour, yeah.
What sort of flavour, sorry?
It was like a tangy flavour.
Tangy, yeah.
It sort of made the meat a bit different.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. And so have you got a favourite sort of... Is there a favourite approach you have to painting or a favourite topic or whatever? Because I think what you do is so diverse. I just wondered...
Like painting. I just... Doing painting where it just represents the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in a lot of places, the community is broken down. You know, different generations... different priorities and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've lost a lot of that through the generations, you know, and it's all because there's a lot of conflict within certain communities where they don't mix together.
Right.
You know, and it's sad, but there's hope that we will down the track, but at like Aboriginal events and that we all come together as one, which is good.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to every year, you know, with NAIDOC Week and all that. It's good to see everyone come together.
Yeah, and other big events too, aren't there? Like the football, those big football festivals and other. Well, I mean, and also of course,
the football festivals are a big part of community because a lot of there's a lot of talented young men there, and also the deputy on board where there's a lot of young girls and young boys that need that boost to their system, you know, where they are recognised in the community and give them pride of place.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming out to the community and it's a great thing to see.
Yeah, it's fantastic and it's great. I don't know how to put this, just being part of such a big community, even though it's a small community compared to the whole of Australia, but when you're born, it's as you were, there were always four or five brothers and sisters, then all the cousins and then the uncles and aunties and... And it's a beautiful way of living, actually. I imagine that times it gets a bit
really
tiresome.
It really is, but unfortunately, as we get older, things change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, things are not what they used to be because, you know, you grow up from an Aboriginal community and you move into mainstream society, basically, and then you see things that you never saw when you were growing up.
Yeah.
And you realise, wow, what happened? Like, you know? So that's unfortunate about that, but, you know, and the only change we can make is if we make it as a community.
Yeah, yeah. And by saying that, well, I guess what you're saying is everybody's within your community has got to be able to talk things through and come to a decision together?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've all got to come together.
Mm.
And at these events that we have every year, we all do, which is a great thing to see.
Yeah.
Put aside... the grievances and all that, but when it comes to our culture, it's good to see us come together as one. You know, and it's just a nice thing to have all of us together.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the things that a lot of people that don't mix a lot with Aboriginal people may be not aware of is the very unusual Aboriginal Aboriginal humour. Like, it's not unusual. Yeah. It's just very easygoing, isn't it?
And it's unfortunate that a lot of people that are non-Aboriginal as well they don't choose to understand our culture.
Mm.
They stick to the stereotyping about what's said and what's not said, and it's just terrible. Like, it's like when we're born, we're disadvantaged from birth.
Yeah.
Because we were born black.
Mm.
You know, we didn't choose the colour of our skin, but we chose the way of our life. You know, we choose to be who we are because we love our culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we can't pick and choose certain things in life.
Mm.
But that's something that we choose and we live by.
Mm.
You know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
No,
I'm proud of my culture. I'm proud of where I'm from. You know, like I said, I was born on a mission in Moree.
Mm.
I love the Top Camp because that's where I grew up and that's where all my memories were born.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's. I think. Actually, looking at your paintings, but not just looking at them, but actually, there's always some artists down at the Keeping Place who can talk people through sort of understanding your pictures as well. So it's a very accessible way of entering into your world and the world of Aboriginal community, I think, to have a look at your
pictures. And I always recommend people, if you're looking for a great Aboriginal artist, is Albert Namatjira.
Mm.
Absolutely beautiful, stunning artwork.
Mm.
You know, my father used to have a book of him many years ago, and he used to show me the paintings. And I'm thinking, wow, self-educated with his artwork. I'm thinking, wow, what a great talent.
Yeah.
You know, and towards the end of his life, he wasn't treated as great as he should have been.
Mm.
You know, which is a sad thing.
Mm.
Yet people skied about how great he was. This is not Indigenous community, and yet back in the day, you know, it was like he was a novelty.
He was a novelty to non-Aboriginal.
Yeah, and he wasn't. He was, to me, he was the greatest Aboriginal artist that ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I always put him up there, also with David Goldfield. He was the greatest Australian actor that ever lived.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I admired him. He walked in two worlds.
Mm.
And he never ever forgot where he came from.
No.
And everything he did in his life, it was for him, his family and his community, and that's a lot. I got a lot of respect for him for doing that.
Mm.
So he's a big inspiration, you know, when it comes to artistic artwork.
Mm. And I think, Teresa, one of your other inspirations, I don't know how you see this, is the next generation coming through. How does that impress you? The way you paint as a, or the way you paint as an artist, and what your thoughts about the next generation? Because you're sort of halfway, aren't you?
There's a lot of great young people coming through with artwork.
Yeah,
they just need that forum to get out and showcase their artwork.
Yeah,
and because a lot of them are young and shy, they haven't got that confidence to do it, which is unfortunate, you know. And it's stems back as well from the way they were raised as well. Like, if you've been put down long enough, you actually believe the put downs about yourself and your community.
Mm.
You know, and that's to do with stereotyping.
Mm.
You know, like, I've got a 5-year-old niece. She sits here and paints with me, and I encourage her every time she wants to paint or draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully she's going to be a next generation artist as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I encourage anyone to promote their kids' artistic ability because they are our future generation.
That's right. And your pictures or your paintings are ways in which you can show the next generation what's come before them and explain things, I guess.
Well, that's right. Like I said, everyone's artwork's different. Mm. Like, I can do traditional artwork, but I choose not to. I like doing more contemporary style artwork with design, but I try to stick to my culture as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you so much for talking with us, Teresa. I just want to let your exhibition is there for another 2 or 3 weeks. I think another 2 weeks.
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Yeah, down at the Keeping Place, which is in Kentucky Street in Armidale, and I know you're already working on more beautiful work, so we can expect to hear more of you. And of course the proceeds from it's a selling exhibition, and so the proceeds go to help you, of course,
just with medical stuff, basically. I still haven't applied for my NDIS, but I will down the track, because I'm always getting on the back with the medical professionals to get to it all, and
yeah.
Yeah, I should, because my disease is so horrendous at times.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to end up in a wheelchair and not have a wheelchair for myself.
That's right, yeah. And so what... Sorry, you go.
Yeah, so it's unfortunate. Like, I thought it was, like, all my life I looked after my father for 20 years and then lost my nephew all within 11 months of one another, and then I was on the road to going back into employment, and then I was struck down with this disease, and at the time this disease just took away my entire life, and even now I'm still very limited in what I can and can't do.
And what you said at the exhibition artist talk was that a large part of the value for painting, the value is what we've talked about, but it's also, it helps you manage the pain. Is that?
Yeah, well, when I paint for therapeutic reasons, because when you're in pain 24 hours a day, you've got to do something to occupy yourself. You don't want to sit in your house and dwell on the pain.
No.
Just, you know, you start to think crazy thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I went through a time of depression because I didn't want to be around. But it was my family that kept me going. You know, and when your body's just lost control and you physically can't do anything, it takes away your spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it took me a long time to fight my way back from that depression, because I was in a very bad place. Like, I was trapped in my house. I couldn't even walk down one step.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep in a bed. I couldn't sit on a normal lounge chair or chair. I had to have a shower chair. I couldn't sit on a normal toilet. You know, because my mobility, the strength in my body had just left me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought, you know, I'll start doing something else. And then when I paint, I don't think about that stuff.
No, yeah.
It just takes it away.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't wish my disease on anyone, because it's very rare, and it's so heartbreaking to have, because it just kills your spirit. You know, you're sick of going to the hospital once a month for treatment. You're sick of having all the tablets. You know, you're sick of not doing the things you used to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, mine is a side effect from a tablet I was on 16 years ago.
Yes.
I was only on it for 2 years, and then 9 years later I got the residual side effect. So I'm thinking to myself, I was the stiffest person in the world. I went through a very difficult time losing my nephew.
Yes.
And then 11 months later losing my father.
Yeah.
And then a couple of months after that, that's when I started to get really sick and really weak, and it took them a few months to even diagnose me, because they've never ever come across my disease.
Yeah, no,
When I got diagnosed, it was like, wow.
It's a very rare reaction to statin drugs, statin drug, and I think part of your story, Teresa, is you know, for people to be extremely careful about what drugs they take and make sure they do know about the side effects. Yeah, but,
yeah, it's horrendous. I tell people how I can explain my disease is imagine wearing a lead suit. And you're wearing that lead suit every day of the week. Or imagine jumping in a pool or the river with about 6 layers of clothing on and getting out.
Yeah.
That's how my body feels. That's how heavy it is.
Because
your muscle strength is just weak.
Yeah, yeah. So you're carrying your body weight, but the strength in your muscles isn't there to help you, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Teresa, you're such an inspiration. And those pictures down there at the art gallery, the Aboriginal Keeping Place, are very inspirational. And
thank you.
And they're kind of like a portal into a different world. I mean, I'm speaking as a non-Indigenous person, I suppose, but what I'm saying is those pictures are, you know, an entryway into a glorious world of colour and culture.
Thank you.
And I just want to thank you for being so brave and doing what you do.
All right, then. Thank you, mate.
Okay, bless you. Righto.
Bless you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that was Teresa Chatfield, artist. Teresa's Camilla Roy, Aboriginal lady originally from Moree, now living in Tamworth, but exhibiting at the Armidale Cultural Centre and Keeping Place, and her exhibition is on, I think, until about the 16th of June, but you would have to check. There are still a few pictures left to purchase there, but I really would encourage listeners just to go and enjoy those paintings and really kind of participate in them, because it's a great way to have a reason to go down to the keeping place, and there's always staff on hand to, you know, help you understand, take you for a tour of the keeping place. So, and if you ask any questions at all about any of the paintings, and it's not just Teresa's there, there's other beautiful works of art there, and a little cafe as well, and the keeping place has just been refurbished and it looks really spectacular, so it's really worth a visit. And I think the hours are 10 till 4 Monday to Friday and 10 till 2 on Saturday. So so you've still got a couple of weeks to catch those pictures and just have a look at what's going on in the world of, you know, not over there, not in the Northern Territory, not in Western Australia, but right here within our own community, the vibrancy and the dynamism of modern interpretations of Aboriginal culture, and you know, First Nations aspirations, and just as Teresa was saying, just an understanding of what it's like to grow up black, and you know, the joy of being part of a big family and part of the environment, being able to just go off with your uncle and auntie and go hunting and grab your dinner either out of the river or, you know, some goanna or porcupine or whatever. It's just echidna, rather. Just a lovely insight into that world. So enjoy.